Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is what you look forward to so much, and it kind of gets your blood boiling a little bit.
Oh, Jalen Brown! Threw it to himself! Oh, he's eviscerating the Celtics!
Put that on the snow! Credit to everybody for the Bucks. Incredible performance today.
You know, the series is not won or lost. Not one game. Especially not game one.
We got to create spacing for each other, and we got to get it moving.
Long three-pointer. That's good. Two teams throwing haymakers at each other here on the floor. Durant, the drive, gets to the paint, left-handed, and it's out of the middle.
You know, we have the weight of like our championship pedigree on our shoulders in terms of trying to get back to that stage, but you can't rush the journey that we're on. You can't cope, you should have broke because I ain't no
joke. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank. So if yesterday was a sign of how the conference semifinals are going to play out, then sign me up. We had Giannis doing Giannis things in Boston and missed chance at the buzzer in Memphis. That's where we're going to start today's show. NBA champion Richard Jefferson and his coffee mug joining us now. So, Richard, what was your biggest takeaway from game one in Memphis?
My biggest takeaway is that the Golden State Warriors can win a road game with their most important player out at halftime. That's how good they are. That's their balance attack. When you're able to weather any type of storm, especially on the road, and they were able to come together and pull together a win. Why? Because of that championship DNA that they were talking about, Malika.
Championship DNA, and they're hoping that they can use that to win another championship.
Let's go.
This year. Thank you so much, Richard.
I'll be here.
Cheers.
I'll be right here.
More from you later in the show, and more on the Warriors and Grizzlies, including Draymond Green getting ejected. How much of a role did his reputation play in that flagrant too? But before we get there, we need to talk, Janae, about the Bucks and the Celtics. Who better to do it with than you? Two-time WNBA champion.
Let's do it.
So what was your biggest takeaway from this game?
Well, the Celtics really have to flip the script really quick because this is a contrast in styles. Playing against the Nets, it's two talented players that you're going up against versus the Bucks. I mean, they're a squad. They're a team. And Giannis, he had 12 assists. So they make sure that everyone is involved. And I think the physicality affected them as well. This is a completely different series you're seeing here.
Absolutely. Then series one for the Celtics, this is a whole new squad. We're going to have more on the Bucks and the Celtics, including Misugumake. Giannis being weird, but those are his words. That's not mine. We have some sound that you need to hear. That's coming up. But before we get to yesterday's games more, we do have two more game ones on the schedule tonight. 76ers versus the Heat, Mavs versus the Suns. So big perk. I always love your tweets after the game, but I want to look into the future. What do you have in drafts right now? Give me a prediction and then carry on.
Hold on, Malika. First of all, look, I'm handling my Twitter, okay? And then second of all, look, if I tell the world about what I'm going to tweet post-game, then what's the point of tweeting, all right? But look, I will give you this inside information. Tonight, I'm going to be tweeting about James Harden and the beautiful performance he's going to put on down there in Miami. And also Doc Rivers. He's going to out-coach Eric Spoelstra, and I can't wait to put it in their face.
Oh, those are some bold predictions. I happen to know that Richard Jefferson may or may not have written something that you tweeted yesterday. Thank you so much, Perk. More from you later on in the show. But for more on the 76ers and Heat, I want to do a little reporter's roundtable here. So joined by senior insider Adrian Wojnarowski and senior writer Ramona Shelburne. And Woj, you reported yesterday that Joel Embiid, he didn't travel to Miami for game one and game two. What it's going to take to get him cleared to play in game three?
Well, he's going to meet with the doctors again on Wednesday once that Philly is back from Miami off that trip. Two things really have to happen here. One, he's got a clear concussion protocol. He has a mild concussion. You know, he's had symptoms. And so he's got to clear through that. And then that orbital fracture in his face, certainly he'll get fitted for a mask this week. And he's got to get cleared by the doctors that he can go play with it. Certainly there's a pain tolerance there. He's already playing with a torn ligament in his right thumb. And so right now, it's either game three on Friday or game four on Sunday where, you know, if you're Philly, you hope, you know, if it's game four on Sunday that you've won a game in here somewhere, that you're not talking about trying to bring him back if they're down 3-0. But we'll know more, I think, on Wednesday, Thursday, about whether game three or game four is a possibility. There was some optimism that it could very well be the case that he could be back, but there are still hurdles to clear this week for Joel Embiid.
And important that he comes back for this Sixers team. Ramona, I know you're incredibly close with Joel. You talk to him often. How's he feeling about being out for these first two games?
Yeah, I mean, he was feeling a little bit better over the weekend. Obviously, there's two issues, as Woj said. There's the concussion and there's the orbital fracture. The orbital fracture, that is the bone below your eye. That's like a fighter's injury, okay? And the concussion, though, he's still experiencing symptoms from that. And when you go through the protocols, like, they kind of get you up and moving around, but he wasn't as sensitive to light, which is one of the concussion symptoms that you have.
Right.
So the eye is not as in as much danger as it was before. So potentially maybe he doesn't have to wear goggles when he comes back, just maybe a mask.
Okay.
Which is, that was a problem last time. The goggles fog up as you play. Anybody who wears glasses knows that can be a problem. But the orbital fracture is something that you have to just wait and see how the inflammation, the healing is going.
Sure.
And then with the concussion, there's still some dizziness going on. And so that's just, as you go through the process, you have to take it step by step. You do one thing, you do some light cardio, see how you respond. Maybe you shoot a basketball, see how you respond. And so these are the hurdles that he has to clear. And so I think his main message was, I just need my guys to give me a chance to come back.
So that's the Sixers side of things.
Yep.
Let's go to the Heat, Woj, because we know that they advanced past the Hawks in five games. They finished the series, though, without Kyle Lowry, without Jimmy Butler. What's their prognosis for tonight?
Yeah, Jimmy Butler's in. Kyle Lowry is out. Jimmy Butler's had several days to rest that right knee. He missed game five, the clincher on Tuesday against Atlanta. So he's had almost a full week here to rest that knee. He's back. And now the hamstring with Kyle Lowry. I think you'll see them take this game to game and certainly building a lead in the series and building a cushion. Yeah. I think it gives Miami more of an opportunity to get that hamstring fully healed before they have to bring Kyle Lowry back.
Well, Jermona, thank you so much. This is the first game of two tonight. And with no Embiid and Lowry, all eyes are going to be on James Harden. Because remember, for Harden, this is a big game. The Sixers are outscoring opponents by nearly 16 points per 100 possessions when Harden and Embiid are sharing the court, which would rank first in the NBA. However, when it's just Harden on the floor without Joel, Philly's net rating is minus 10.2. That would be the worst mark in the NBA. So for more on Harden's impact tonight, hey, Richard, Chinee, what you got?
Oh, I got a little something for you. What? My sister here, Chinee, she's going to break down how James Harden needs to attack, because really it's going to need to be James Harden and then James Harden and then more James Harden.
Yeah, and then James Harden more. And if you think about it, like, first roll the tape. I mean, this is Houston James Harden. This is the one I grew up on. I'm from the 281, the 713. And everyone says he needs to be more aggressive. You remember a couple weeks ago, Joel said it, Doc Rivers said it.
Ooh.
Now you need to get back into this bag. Without Joel, we need to see 30 pieces. We need to see 40 pieces. But also we need a little bit of that finish at the basket, that physicality. That's what we loved about James. Mm-hmm. People were so mad about his game because it seemed like he cheated it, per se, because he knew how to draw fouls. He knew how to get that step back when everyone was still working on the footwork. So those are the good things that James Harden brings that he will need to bring back. I'll add this, RJ.
Please.
It's very important that Brooklyn James shows up as well, because his ability to distribute the ball is super crucial. He has to get everyone going, Maxey, Tobias Harris included, for them to have a shot, because right now, Miami, they're one of the best, if not the best, postseason defense out there.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's between them and Boston. But I will say this. Miami defense, they problem. They are problem. Now, watch this defense. We're going to point out Trae Young. Now, look, we understand that James Harden is bigger, but James Harden has lost a step. I'm not saying that. The stats are saying that.
Ooh.
And watch this. Watch this down the line. Bam. Nope. And when I say bam, I'm like, bam.
Bam. That's like, literally,
like,
bam.
Literally bam. And then again, all-league defender and Jimmy Butler. Now, this is where he's going to have to get separation. I know Trae Young is smaller, and you saw the fits that they call him. James Harden has to get more separation, but also he's got to knock down his three. If the better you shoot your three, the quicker you become, because people have to get closer to you. But even Trae Young, a good three-point shooter, look at how close they
on
can
the
get.
Center.
Look at it.
Ooh, good
and he got nowhere to go. We got nowhere to go, and Bam's hyped up. So I'm just letting you guys know right now that this is going to be an absolute problem of a series.
It's not going to be easy, Malika.
It is not, and they're going to need Tyrese Maxey. They're going to need James Harden. And even still, without Joel Embiid, it is going to be tough for the 76ers. Still to come, though, on NBA Today. Richard, I hear you're debuting a new segment.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Giannis's physicality is going to be a problem for the Celtics. And let's see how many nicknames I can get in here. Lethal Weapon 3, Pool Party, Fast 5, whatever the
case
may be.
It ain't no pool party.
Who is the most important entity in that group for the Warriors to win it all? Plus, it's a star-studded showdown in the desert. Make no mistake, Devin Booker and Luka Doncic, they can get buckets. Keep it locked on NBA Today to find out who is responsible for stopping them.
That's a terrible job. Well, if you got to be responsible for stopping them.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by PNC Bank. See how we can make a difference. And in part by Arby's. Arby's, we have the meats. And FTX. Not an expert in crypto? You don't need to be.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank. Let's get to Draymond Green. So remember, late in the second quarter, Draymond, he comes down hard with his right hand across the face of Brandon Clark. And then you can see he grabs his jersey with his left hand. It looked like Clark was maybe falling to the floor there. The referees call that a flagrant 2, and Draymond was ejected. Richard, what did you see there?
Look, I understand it. I understand it, right? Like, that's too much. It looks like Draymond was trying to hold on to him. But it's just tough. That's tough by the rule. Here we go.
Well, exactly. By the rule, the pool report, and just to explain, a pool report is when a reporter goes and chats with the official. In this case, it was the crew chief, Kane Fitzgerald. He said there's a couple of things he got ejected. The first part was the windup and significant contact to the face, and then the pull down from the jersey. So first is the contact with the face, then the pull down with the jersey. Draymond Green, he put out what he dubbed an emergency episode of his podcast after the game, reacting to the ejection.
The playoffs are a little tougher and not as soft as the regular season, you know, and that, you know, you can bump a little more and you get away with a little more, you know. Like, I think tonight was probably a reputation thing more so than a hard foul. By definition, if we go through the definition of a flagrant 2 foul, I'm not sure that play would quite be the definition of a flagrant foul. I'm not sure it would meet that criteria.
All right, so before we go any further, I just want to explain why that call was so important. Remember, if a player accumulates 4 flagrant points during the postseason, that triggers an automatic 1-game suspension. So a flagrant 2, that's 2 points already for Draymond. A flagrant 1 would be 1 point. If he gets 2 more flagrant 1s or 1 flagrant 2, out for a game. So after they serve their suspension, a player's point total, remember, it doesn't go to 0. So with that as the backdrop, Perk, do you think that was a flagrant 2 that was warranted?
Hell yeah, it was. Look, you can't slap a guy in the face and then pull him down by the jersey. Look, it was a flagrant 2, and it was a message, and Draymond Green happened to be the example that had to be set, because guess what? If you let that slide, then all of a sudden, guys around the league is going to think it's okay to foul guys by pulling them down from their jersey, and it's not. Now, thank God nothing happened to Brandon Clark and he didn't hurt himself, but having that type of foul, like, that could have ended way worse. Like, he really could have hurt himself. So, absolutely, it was a flagrant 2.
Completely agree, Big Perk. And so, we're starting our week perfectly because it's the combination of the two.
Good for us, good for everybody, good for you, boo-boo.
The contact to the face already could get you a flagrant 2 based on the intent. Now, the jersey, being a non-basketball play, could also get you a flagrant, because that was just unnecessary. And it's very rare. Normally, you see jersey tugs when someone beats someone on a pick and roll, and you're trying to hold them back. This is a very dangerous scenario where you're jumping in the middle of the air and then you're getting yanked potentially by your neck because that's where the jersey tug is happening. So yeah, this was a flagrant two. I think Draymond is like, oh, the physicality, people target me because I'm a physical guy. No, on this play, you smack someone on the face and then you grab somebody's jersey. That warrants completely a flagrant two. And you don't want to set a precedent that you get a pass because of you being quote unquote physical versus if it was anybody else, we all know that this probably wouldn't even be that big of a conversation.
Go ahead, Pert.
And Draymond think he's slick, right? He hurry up and went did the podcast so that he wouldn't probably get fined. Like, yeah, because I used to do that. Like, if you be remorseful or you try to defend yourself or justify why you did it, then the league don't come down as hard on you, or they might not fine you, or they might say, you know what, we just gonna leave it at a flagrant two and that's it. You know, and let it. But like, he thought he was slick with that podcast.
He made his money back on the pot already.
By the way, Malika, you're fortunate that you're in a situation where Jaws layup didn't go in, right? Because we'd be thinking about what that play put you in position when it comes to the playoffs if Ja made the final shot.
I thought it was a little bit of a soft flagrant two, to be honest with you.
The flagrant two here was... No, I understand. The flagrant two here is more about the potential of what could happen.
Exactly.
Because if you drag a player down like that in midair, that's
sure.
not safe. Draymond
midair by the jersey.
Yeah, but Draymond, I think it went from a drag to a
the
catch.
Hole to a catch.
But, not letting him fall.
But it's the start of that motion. Like, you're not going to be able to catch everyone. You're not going to be able to do that. And for when you look at this team, sometimes what can happen is that all of a sudden tempers flare. You do that, then guys start pushing, then all of a sudden something escalates. So a lot of times they will do it to keep control. That was an unnecessary play. You would not want that done to you,
sure.
And you shouldn't be doing it to other people.
But it's unnecessary and excessive is what a flagrant two is versus just unnecessary. Steph Curry is speaking as we speak to reporters about this. Here's him at Shootaround.
Reading Draymond's flagrant from a two to a one. Just does that surprise you? Just your thoughts on that?
It's shocking. I don't know what the explanation was. I really doesn't really matter in terms of how we feel about it. But good thing about what we do, and hopefully what Draymond can do is just put it behind him, continue to be himself, play his game, impact the game like he knows how to do. But it's obviously not shocking.
Along those lines, just do you feel he has to be more careful now with the 2 points, the limits for a suspension, and just how that may impact things moving forward?
Unfortunately, yeah, he's got to be mindful of that because he's in that situation. Only he can kind of tell you what that means for him and the way he approaches the game. But like I said, I just want him to be himself and make the plays he knows he's capable of making, impact the game, be physical, be demonstrative, be Draymond that we expect, but hopefully not get in a situation where interpretation of rules or the way somebody might see it can go against him.
I'm sure Draymond will speak to this later, but on his podcast he said his pretty sure his reputation is what is leading this. Other players have chimed in. That's his reputation getting these things. Do you think that's what it is? So that's just they're reading into other things he's done in the past or has thought that he did in the past?
I think it's where human nature comes in, where obviously if you've watched him play, you know how demonstrative he is, situations that he's found himself in the past. Like, there's no way you can't clear that out of your mind, right or wrong. I think it's wrong in terms of like that, you know, situation yesterday where we'll never know. But if somebody else does that exact same foul, is it a one, is it a two, whatever it is. So that's the mind games you can kind of just play with yourself. And definitely is to us and to me a situation where it's because it's him, because of just the way that he plays the game, can influence the way you read a call. That's the unfortunate part, but what you gonna do about it?
Steph, right here. All right. So how do you guys deal with it when, you know, you don't want to let that to be the focus of, you know, the way things go or to affect your play, but how do you guys deal with it when you say, oh, here goes Draymond again, or it's just, well, all right, let's just take that and go on?
Even that question is kind of crazy. Like, it's we're just playing basketball, and he's just playing basketball. And, like, we have to deal with what happens in the game, and that's what we did last night. We responded, and you can see that was why there was a lot of emotion because of how the game went and that, you know, particular call. But we don't have to deal with anything. We just play basketball, and we do it together, and everybody brings something different, including Draymond, that helps us win games. So we don't want anybody to have to change their approach, you know, based on anything. So that'll be the test for him individually moving forward and for us as a team.
All right, so that was Steph Curry, who is speaking to reporters at Shootaround this morning about Draymond Green's flagrant 2 ejection. As we were just talking about, Richard, flagrant 2, that means he has 2 more points before he's suspended. And again, if for some reason he is suspended, if he were to get another flagrant foul after he serves that suspension, automatically suspended again. It does not go back down to 0. But one interesting thing that I heard Steph say, Richard, was about how Draymond may need to be more mindful and potentially even adjust his game. And we've talked so much about how Draymond is such a spark plug for this team. What concerns you about that?
It concerns me for a couple of reasons. One, teams are going to be trying to ask for this at any point in time. You want any advantage. Now, it's not just what happens in this game. It can be post reviews. For example, Chris Paul got a flagrant foul for a kick in the Pelican series after the game was over. In the infamous game 4 that Draymond got suspended for in the 2016, that hat came after the game. So even if Draymond gets through a complete game and teams are sending in views, this should have been a flagrant. This should have been a flagrant. Now all of a sudden, their entire team feels this because say what you want, the Draymond flagrant situation has cost them a championship before. It has, and every team knows this, and that's going to be something that they're going to try and project. That's going to be something that they're going to be paying attention to, not just the Warriors, but other teams.
And I think when Steph mentions, you know, being mindful of the situation that might be provoked by his opponents, right, the Grizzlies in this instance, what he really means is that Draymond, we all know he's got a guy that wears his heart on his sleeve. He's very emotional. And sometimes that gets the best out of you in certain moments, like we just saw. But I don't think we're going to see a departure of him being physical. It just is more like, let's make sure that these plays, like we're just seeing right now on the screen, are not happening. And those are choices that you make when your mind, we call it, you know, coaches call it game slippage. And that happens occasionally. You know, you don't shoot the ball well. Sometimes you foul too hard. That's game slippage. I don't think Draymond's going to be anybody but Draymond, but he has to know he can't take the bait because people are going to definitely start baiting him the rest of the series.
Kendrick?
Yeah, I agree. But as a guy that went through this and got suspended a lot and led the playoffs and technical fouls, year after year after year, you are mindful. And look, Draymond is no dummy, right? Like, he has a high IQ, so he knows what he's doing and he knows what to do and what not to do. The only problem that I have with the Warriors are, why are they trying to act like they're the victims here? Like, they're not the victims. Draymond Green committed a flagrant foul too. See, and this is when it goes back to the point when Marcus Smart dove for the loose ball and Steve Kerr had a panic attack and he was so frustrated on the sideline claiming that Marcus Smart did it on purpose. But all of a sudden you get to this moment and all of a sudden they want
to
cry wolf. Nobody wants to hold Golden State accountable. Nah. Nobody wants to hold them accountable.
Also, we all know that Draymond is one of the realists on and off the floor.
Agreed.
So us talking about him, he's co-signing our 100% thoughts and opinions.
Oh, he knows. Right.
Also, the Warriors won the game, so not victims again. Like, you're right again, Perk.
Look, Marcus Smart dives after a basketball and does a basketball play, and they're upset, understandably so. I don't want anything wrong with Steph. But on the flip side, you pull a guy going up for a layup, and they're like, well, poor Draymond.
I really did think it was going to be a flagrant one until the length of the review, and then it was like, all right, this is what they're reviewing for. This is going to be a flagrant two. And then the way that he exited the court with all of that fanfare, I mean, that I certainly hyped up the Warriors. All right, ladies and gentlemen, is that how you say it, Richard?
That's how we say it.
We got a new segment for you. Coming up, Bucks fans, stay tuned.
We got a grown man in the building.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by PNC Bank.
This is going to be a competitive series. It's going to be a tough series.
Got to give them credit. They really came out and set the tone.
I'm coming in hot.
They had a chip on their shoulder. They came in with an edge. They were locked in. They punched us in the mouth.
It's a reason why they were champs last year.
Yeah, coming in hot. Coming in hot.
Everybody for the Bucks, physically and mental toughness, incredible performance.
The Bucks have been dominating the paint this postseason on both sides of the floor. They've been dominant. They're averaging over 44 points in the paint while allowing just a little over 30. They have the best differential in the NBA, Richard.
Oh, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to work on something a little bit more aggressive for this graphic. Look at the light. Look at everything. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he is different. Now, we watched the Boston Celtics literally punk the Nets with physicality, with bully ball. But as my boy, Zach Randolph, once said, where he's from, bullies get bullied. And what happens when the most physical team goes against one of the most physical players? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a look. Let's break this down.
First of all, I don't know. Maybe I'm weird. I thrive through physicality. Like I love feeling beat up after games. I don't know why. You know, my family think I'm a weirdo. But
you're not weird.
Like,
you
when
just
the game, you know, finish, I just kind of look at my body. If I don't feel like I'm like beat up or like, you know, I was physical enough or they were physical to me, I feel like I didn't give everything for my team.
Mm-hmm. Now, so look, we're going to show a little theme of my guy, because you know why? You want people that embrace physicality, that look for physicality. And for the Boston Celtics, watch this. See, look, Al Horford's going to give him space because he's not really a three-point threat. But what does he do? He eats that space. The two biggest guys, Time Lord Al Horford, watch this. They put him in a tough spot, and what does Giannis do? He can handle all that physicality. And it's not about bullying through the physicality. It's forcing people to help that allow for open shots for your teammates, and they knocks down the shot. Then again, here, what do we got? Jason Tatum. This ain't KD, bro. Like, and I understand that KD's a monster, but this guy, watch this. Oh, get off me, little fella. Oh, here we go. Give me some more. Here, oh, look, get out of here. And then what does he do? What does he do? He goes against the next biggest guy on the floor. Eat that and one. That's what he can do. He can take physicality and create for himself, but he can also take physicality and create for others. That's the difference between Giannis. And the last thing I'll say, they have a great team. This is a great team, and the way they are playing is going to be a big issue if the Boston Celtics can't learn to contain that monster. And they were missing an all-star.
And they can't muscle up, right?
They can't muscle up, man. That's a problem.
So physicality was the theme of game one. So let's get physical. Perk, you were both a physical player and a Celtic, so you are the perfect person to start with here. What is sticking with you from that game that we're now a day removed from?
Drew Holiday. I got to go with Drew Holiday. You know why? Because when I look at Drew Holiday, think about last year. When Giannis was out, Drew Holiday stepped his game up, and all of a sudden him and Chris Middleton became a dangerous duo last postseason. All of a sudden Chris Middleton goes out. Now he drops 25 and 10 game one and becomes a dangerous duo with Giannis Antetokounmpo. We already know what he's bringing on the defensive side of things, but the other thing that stood out to me is that I think it's very, very clear that Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best basketball player in the world. Like, to go 9 for 25 and still have a triple-double and impose his will the way that he did, his dominance, and we still sitting up here talking about how great of a game he played when we know we could have saw better, it speaks volumes on how he has taken over that throne.
Perk, I know you had some thoughts on Jason Tatum's pregame outfit.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah. You know what? Look, here's the thing. I like when guys are confident. And listen, JT came in, he swagged up, he got his shades on. But you have to remember, Giannis walking in, majority of the time, he got his sweatsuit on and those black Air Force Ones. And we all know how it is in the hood when somebody pulling up with the black Air Force Ones.
With creases.
They want all the smoke. Mm-hmm. So,
and he gave it to him.
With creases.
Facts.
Shoes tied tight, real tight.
Yeah.
You never heard Portland go to that octave. Are you okay?
Yeah,
that,
the black Air Force Ones with creases
the other way.
Tied real tight. That's not, they're not giving you no deal either. They're not giving you no deal. The price is the price.
Giannis has said before that he's got a little something. He just doesn't bring it out on game day.
What day does he bring it out?
You know, maybe the All-Star Dunk Contest when he's watching with his little phone. We have a five-day week show.
Okay.
So we can make, did you know that? You don't show up 5 days a week. So we can make predictions, and we have takes on the league. I'm curious, Richard, did what happened yesterday change any of your thoughts on how the series is going to play out?
No, in the beginning, I thought that the Bucks were going to have to shoot the ball extremely well from three, especially without Chris Middleton, because you don't have that other playmaker. So a lot of it is going to be Drew and Giannis handling that physicality. Where he handled the physicality, didn't really shoot the ball particularly well, but you can see how that still allowed for open shots for his teammates. So if they can shoot between 38 and 42, that gives them a chance to win. But I do believe Boston's going to play exponentially better as this series goes on.
Malika, it did change for me, honestly. You know, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about, is Giannis the best player in the world? And I was like, let me see what happens when KD gets out there, see if the Lakers make the postseason.
What?
I know, but I'm just
saying.
We're
not allowed to mention them anymore.
Okay, I know. I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to say, like, best player in the world, you're talking about LeBron, you're talking about KD, you're talking about these up-and-coming.
I don't even know who the coach is.
I think right now, I'm willing to say, you know, as Perk said, he's not only, Giannis Antetokounmpo is not only the most dominant player, but he is the best player based on how he plays. Given the circumstance that we're seeing without Chris Middleton. And so me, I'm always going back based on the gameplay and also facts and also feel. And at this point and period, going up against a Celtics team who had their rhythm, had the best defense, you're missing your other all-star, your running mate, and you still find a way to win when you're not necessarily as effective shooting the ball. You get 12 assists and you have a triple-double. And a lot of people
don't talk about
Giannis Antetokounmpo and his handle. He grabs the ball. He's got a tight handle. He's now making all the necessary reads. He's the best player in the world, and now we're seeing it in real time. Now, I think before I said it was Celtics in, I think, 5 or 6. I think I said it on NBA Countdown. I think it's going to be a 7-game series, and the basketball world will be happy for it. I won't tell you who's going to win, though.
You never bet against the champs. I still
got the Celtics in 7.
Because you work for
I got the Celtics in 7.
I'm rolling. Celtics people.
No,
you
I know
green,
that has, I work for ESPN. I know it has nothing to do with it. I'm so unbiased. I'm the most unbiased person on this panel. Listen, here's the thing. When it comes down to the Boston Celtics, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they will bounce back. Hold on, look. We know that RJ is not going to say nothing about the Nets. We know Malika is not going to say nothing about her Golden State Bay Area squad. She going to ride with
them.
So we know what it is. We know
what
it is.
What are you talking about?
I know, but y'all
I'm saying,
but y'all say, yeah, I do. I agree with you.
Richard's looking like Giannis walking into a game.
This is how Giannis walking in. Giannis ain't swagged out. Giannis walking in.
Ready to work.
Yeah.
Here's what I learned in yesterday's game. Chris Middleton, where I was interested is the non-Giannis minutes on the floor. And is Bobby Portis for real? Is this Grayson Allen play going to stick? Is he going to continue to shoot the three, the ball the way that he has been? Pat Connaughton hasn't been as lethal as he has been in past series, but he was still holding it down. Those minutes, to me, prove that these are the champs and the Celtics are going to have a tough time with them. But coming up on NBA Today, we're going to go to the West for the Mavs and the Suns. So what's at stake for Luka Doncic as he takes center stage in the desert?
Luka. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be a heck of a
problem. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Here's Draymond Green speaking to reporters just moments ago.
Disappointment. What was the emotion when you heard
I also said if you're looking for a dummy or idiot, look no further than Draymond Green.
So my expectations are usually off. It's okay. We won the game.
So how are you feeling, you know, picked on at this point?
Nah. I play basketball for a living. Have an incredible family, incredible life. I'm not picked on. There's other people that's picked on. I'm no victim. I'm good money. I told y'all on my podcast, that's my reputation is a badge of honor. Not everybody can earn that reputation. So life goes on.
Draymond.
Go take the game. What we're trying to do, the mission don't change. Next guy up, go take the game. Simple.
I understand you made it very clear that you know who you are. You talked about it on the podcast about how others may see you. But is there any hesitation from you that guys like Steph or Coach Kerr or anybody else on the team has to be answering these questions about whether you may be suspended for a game here if you come close enough to that point line?
No. Not at all. Steph and I have been together for 10 years. And Clay. Coach Kerr, we've been together for 8. Same guy.
Is that something you're being mindful of, though, like going forward?
I'm never going to change the way I play basketball. It's gotten me this far. It's gotten me 3 championships, 4 All-Stars, Defensive Player of the Year. Not going to change now.
Draymond, Steve talked about the point system that they have for accumulating flagrants. There's a lot of things,
Steve, in this league that are probably old and outdated and doesn't make sense, and people are too lazy to go change them. That's probably one of them. I got a laundry list of them to give to you. I don't know if we have the time today, but I got a laundry list of things that are probably old, i.e. players can't invest in a company that an owner is leading the investment in. There's a laundry list of things that are old and they worked in the 60s and it probably don't work today, but people are too lazy to go change them.
That's what it is for now. Does that potentially take some bite out of the way you play?
Absolutely not, because if I take the bite out of the way I play, then we go home early and the points don't matter anyway. So,
two things that stood out to me. I'm no victim, and it's a badge of honor, his reputation. What stood out to you, Chiney?
Honestly, I just like how he started by saying he's blessed. Like, he gets to play basketball. He gets to play the game that he's loved. It's given him a lot. And he's not stressed, and he's not going to change. So that's Draymond Green. You got it all in just about 2 minutes.
Well, and Richard, that's kind of what you were saying, is that if Draymond changes, then that's not good for the Warriors.
No, I had the pleasure of having Draymond as a rookie. And when he started doing all of this stuff, I was like, Draymond, don't change anything you play. They're going to pay you a lot of money for this intensity. Now, he understands. He might act like he's not going to change, but Draymond is aware. The Warriors are aware. So that's the part that is curious. But I'm glad he said he's not a victim. Because as Perk said in the segment before, the Warriors were very upset about Marcus Smart doing certain stuff that led to a Steph injury, and understandably so. But in this moment here, you can't play the, oh, I can't believe this happened, and I'm glad Draymond said it.
Perk, what's your reaction?
Accountability. You know what? I love it when NBA players step up there and say, you know what? This is what I signed up for. Part far as the ejection, far as, you know, bad guys criticizing him for what he done, whether it was, you know, they agreed with him or not. But I just love the accountability part. Like, he's like, man, it's people in the world that really have real problems. Like, this is basketball. This is the NBA. I have a great life. At the end of the day, look, I got to move on. That's what it's about.
Mm. Ramona, what's your take on what he said about the league, about some of these rules and his estimation being antiquated?
Some things that happened in the 60s that the leader can't get away. I love that. He's an old school player, right? And I love when guys call back to what used to be allowed and what used to be going on in the league. Because, you know, it's a way to say, hey, the league's gone soft. And I like that look from Draymond, because it's not saying I'm going to change. It's saying the league has changed.
Yeah. Ramona, thank you so much. Let's put a pin in that for now and go to the other game in the West.
Ooh.
Bogdanović misses on a dribble, and it's over. The Suns will advance.
They're a good team. They've been playing really well.
They're going to be very prepared. We just got to be ready for whatever.
You ready?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready.
Doncic. Oh, target.
have to play our best basketball to beat them.
It's not anything that we haven't seen. We just play.
Someone's going to favor us or give us a chance in this series.
Find a way to win.
It's going to be really tough. The crowd gets them going.
And that's how arena can get.
Let's get started.
We welcome in Anscape's Mark Spears. Mark, you had a great piece up on Anscape about Devin Booker wanting his respect. And Booker surprised a lot of NBA fans and frankly, the officials by returning to the lineup for Game 6 against the Pelicans after severing a hamstring injury just 9 days prior. So what's the Suns' level of confidence for their series against the Mavs with Devin Booker nearing full strength?
Well, he actually wanted to play in Game 5, and they held him out. He said this morning that his hamstring feels great. They got a lot around-the-clock treatment since Thursday, and he's ready to go. So DeAndre Ayton told me, he's like, man, a healthy book is a scary book, and I think he averaged like 40 against the Mavs. It wasn't quite that. He averaged 23 against the Mavs in the regular season. But if respect is what he's looking for, and he's the Suns deservingly feel like he's not getting that, You're getting to play against Luka. You're getting to defend Luka. So if there's one way that a guy that led the Suns to 64 wins and led them in scoring to get the respect that he deserves is to get the better of Luka in the second round matchup.
In this piece, you referenced a perceived lack of respect for Booker. Does Phoenix feel like they're getting the respect a defending conference champion deserves?
No. Not in the least. I mean, you could put Book on that list, Coach Williams, James Jones, Chris Paul. He's too focused. He's, you know, eating vegan food. He's not so much worried about that. But yeah, we don't even have a. It's so unnoted to me. ESPN doesn't even have anybody that covers the Suns on a regular basis, and they just went to the West Finals. I'm like, hey, that's a bigger problem than me. But I'm gonna read you this Book quote that he told me. He said, "Winning a championship is something I want more than anything in life. I dreamed about the finals as a kid, but now it's reality and I have to make it happen. And if the Suns make it happen, they'll get all the respect that they deserve."
Absolutely, Mark. An image that sticks in my mind is Devin Booker walking out of Pfizer Forum last year. His eyes were toward the ground, and you could just tell he wanted to be back on that stage as soon as possible with a different result. For much more on Mark's reporting on Devin Booker, please head over to Anscape.com. I'm still here, though, with Ramona Shelburne. And, Ramona, we've talked a lot about Luka. Yep. What are the Mavs expecting from him on this enormous stage, the biggest that he's been on in his career?
It's the biggest stage for him, and I think the big question in this series is how do the Suns defend Luka? Do you put Mikal Bridges on there, second in defensive player of the year voting? But the Suns like to switch everything, and so there's going to be some fun chess pieces that move around on this in this series, because if you put Bridges on him, then they hunt for the switch. It reminds me a bit of last year when the Clippers were playing against the Mavs in the first round. They had Kawhi Leonard. You don't bring out Kawhi early on because you need him for the rest of the game. The Clippers would switch, and finally Kawhi would switch. By the end of the series, Kawhi was on him.
By the end of the series, you got to have your best defender on him. Yep. Somehow, some way, Ramona, we still have more to come on NBA Today, including the top of the top from the first round of the playoffs. The plays are so good, these actually missed the cut.
Get off me. Scullies, high faces, gang wars,
hot spots, police raided. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the WNBA's 26th season, and Saturday tip-off weekend continues with reigning MVP Jonquel Jones leads the Suns versus Sabrina Ionescu in the Liberty. Our coverage begins at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific.
Sorry,
but really, I'm going to be tuning in for today, Gumake. Welcome back to NBA Today. With the second round of the playoffs in full swing, you know we had to throw it back to the top of the top, first round edition. So first up, top fist bump. This went under the radar because Devin Booker ended up exiting this game.
Love this one.
But after he hits this shot,
little kid,
so take cute. A look at the little baby bump. Baby
look
bump.
At that.
I love it. Little baby
fresh.
Bump.
Oh, yeah. That oh, I love the matching outfit with Pops, too. Okay. Hey.
Oh, I didn't even notice
okay,
that.
Okay, got the Supreme. I see you.
Okay, baby Balenciaga. Next, we take top revenge. Yes. Who could forget Kawhi Leonard's game-winning shot to Embiid?
True.
Well, Embiid got his revenge. We're going to see that coming up. I know. We had to see it again. I'm sorry, Joel. But then this happened, and it was happy, and it was good.
Oh, get him back. Oh,
yes.
Get him back. Send them all. There will be no tears in Toronto, baby.
I like that alliteration.
Yes,
all right, next we have top fillet. First, Tyrese Maxey. I mean, driving through the lane.
Oh, don't show it to him and take it away. No. With the left, never had that in my game.
Okay, say it properly, Malika.
I'm just dunking.
Fillet.
Filet in at the pool party. I love it.
Don't run by the pools, kids.
That's
don't
my
run
favorite
by the pool.
One,
don't do that.
All right, we're going to have some more NBA Today coming up in 60 seconds.
NBA Today is presented by PNC Bank. See how we can make a difference.
And we all know how it is in the hood when somebody pulling up with the black Air Force Ones.
Creases.
They want all the smoke. Mm-hmm. So.
And he gave it to him.
With creases.
Facts.
Shoes tied tight, real tight.
Yeah.
You never heard
Portland. Run the other way.
You're go to that octave. Are you okay?
That was the highest octave I ever heard Big Perk
yet. I didn't know you could get up there
he has
like
a
that.
Falsetto.
The best part about it is there was like a half second delay. He was like, yeah.
Hey, so y'all kept me off for an extra 30 seconds for this?
Yep. To laugh at you.
To laugh at you.
Are you wearing black Air Forces right now, Perk?
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
He looks like he looked the time.
We can get you them extra crease for tomorrow if that's going to help you.
Yeah, and I just want to make one quick announcement, everyone.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Malika has joined TikTok.
Shut up.
Hey, she's come over to the dark side. We're getting her on the dark side. Janae's on there. Perk is on there. The whole fan's on TikTok.
No, I'm not.
Welcome to NFL Live. Major breaking news to begin the show. And for that, we go to Adam Schefter. What do we need to know, Adam?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.